Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Oh, yeah.
Is it a sexy porno, boys? With Barney's up to our eyebrows. Yes! Sexy! I want to suck your penis straw dry.
To the worst idea of all time, season 5 episode, Who Gives a Shit? We've got a special guest joining Tim Batt and Guy Montgomery today.
It's me and the sexiest man on planet.
I hate this guy so much.
He's a bad guy.
He's the bad guy. I don't know where he came from. I hate him.
Chris Parker is here, everybody. Rousing round of applause.
That's oh, very Parker. Handsome.
Our first guest for the season.
Thanks so much for joining us, Chris.
Thanks for playing the pawn. Thanks for letting me watch it in between the two of you.
Hey, you got to stay safe. And there's no safer space to watch a porno than in between a couple of veterans.
So, like, yeah, it really did have that vibe of just like, sit down, we'll put you right in front of the screen. And me and Tim, mate, we got you're back the whole way along, mate. And if you, at any point you need to tap out, just let us know. We can go get some fresh air, get some water. It's actually a lot. It's a lot to handle.
Did you feel safe?
No. Yeah.
You were presenting a very unsafe energy.
You have a
chaotic.
You had a really chaotic vibe. I think I felt like I was here ready to support you guys, if anything, because I saw the impact that these films have on you. You know, like, and then about halfway through, I felt the impact. And then I wanted it and life to be over.
Mm. Wow. But your intention in coming here was to look after your pals.
That's it.
That's so nice. And we do need it.
It's just a lot to, like, it's a really interesting social dynamic, isn't it? Watching porn with friends. Like, it's so weird. But I just didn't know what I was going to be going, like, what it was going to feel like.
How did it feel, Chris?
How did you feel on the drive here?
I was just like, oh, this is funny, you know, and then every now and then you're like, what if it's really racy? You know, and then it starts and you're like, oh, it's not going to be racy at all, you know, like, but then it just becomes this, it's just like watching a very boring movie with friends.
That is exactly what it's like.
Yeah.
And there's nothing worse than watching a boring movie.
There's no reason why this film couldn't have had a plot, but it didn't have a plot. This was the third Emmanuel in Space,
right?
Called A Lesson in Love.
What is starting to frustrate me about the Emmanuel in Space franchise, and I mentioned this while we were watching the movie, is a lot of it is spent on Earth. And some of it's funny. Like, the scene, this time Emmanuel isn't bringing a dude down. Previously she's brought Hafron down or Theo down, so she's, like, bringing different aliens down and showing them these sexual ropes. But in this instance, she brought down a woman alien who she is going to imbue with sort of
knowledge,
a sexual awakening.
The carnal knowledge.
And for me, it was also one of the more morally questionable moments of the movie, but Emmanuel brings her down and they have sex in a Las Vegas hotel room, the two of them, and it seems to be a pretty good time. And then afterwards they have a meal. And after she's made this woman have a trembling orgasm, she has to teach her how to eat food like a person. Because this woman is like whole fisting, picking up bunches of grapes and just trying to put the entire thing in.
She grabs.
And a croissant clearly upside down.
An upside down croissant with one hand like a fucking animal. Isn't it funny? And then a bushel of grapes.
You can eat a croissant upside down.
Yeah, I mean, like.
But you can't. That's what this movie showed me. Is that it's so clear you're doing
it
wrong.
You're like, you're not enjoying the picture of what you eat. Otherwise, just get a bun.
Do you think you can eat that means you can eat a hamburger upside down?
Yeah, yes. You definitely can.
That's crazy.
It is crazy.
What difference does it make?
It doesn't. Or a pie. But I think I sometimes like to eat a pie upside down because the fallout is less.
Oh my God, you're right. Because the smaller bit could be the roof. That would make more sense. You want a wider base on the floor.
Because you've got like the pocket of, you know, like the deeper part of the pie, like it's easy to control that with the upper side of your mouth, if that makes sense.
I'm watching Chris do this and it is fantastic.
Yes, very sexy.
Whereas when it's the heavy part, when the bigger part of the pie and the lower part of your mouth, it's hard to navigate because that bottom part of your jaw is.
But they don't, the pastry lid is not always on tight enough.
Our mouths go flatter base on the floor and then in like a narrower roof. Mm. So you do have to flip the pie upside down. That's why hamburgers can be the wrong way up because they are designed like that.
Eating food upside down more. It's crazy.
Wow, this movie's really turned a corner fast.
Yeah.
Because we've gone from ragging on it.
To being inspired.
Mind you, I was raging on it, raging boner in it. I want to fuck this movie.
No.
Guy's been wheeling this dude out periodically and... Listen, I've enjoyed it a lot, but in the moment, it really does take you by surprise.
It's just like a coping mechanism.
So when Emmanuel came down with a dude, Hafron,
that was the first film.
Are they having sex a lot? Mm-hmm.
They did have some sex, and Hafron's like the captain of the spaceship. He sort of learns about sex and he starts, not unlike the woman, was her name Trisha? Should we call her Trisha?
I think it was Trisha.
So not unlike Trisha, sort of gets a taste for sex with people and then suddenly has this like very pesty, voracious appetite where she just keeps going to new places and hitting up some fella to absolutely...
Around the world. And it was just like she was in Paris fucking on the Eiffel Tower.
Yes.
In Spain fucking with the bulls. Like
I call it around the world in 80 fucks.
But yeah, they are just traveling around the world, boning left, right, and center. And
the
by the end of it, you're just...
tricky... thing to deal with is because when he pops up it's very hard to put anything on top of that.
Around the world and 80 fucks.
What do you throw
sort
in?
Of weird German sex doctor.
He's just a guy. He's okay.
He's like one of the characters they cut from the Muppets because they're like, he's dicey.
Yeah.
We can't give him to the kids.
Yeah, and how much fucking is in the show now? Not enough.
They got as far as the Swedish Chef. And this guy is just beyond that.
Oh my God. Yeah, so there's like a little...
The Muppet should be horny now. You know how there's a lot of like reboots of stuff because it's trying to match the age group that the people who originally came up with it are. The Muppet should be now horny.
Do you know, you never see, even if you're on the porn websites, they'll show you different cartoons in different compromising positions. Never the Muppets. Never anyone from the street.
Because they're like there for kids.
It's copyright, surely. Jim Henson had come down.
Well,
like
you try telling that to this disgusting animator who's trying to make me watch Lois Griffin and Marge Simpson having a whale of a time.
Constantly.
That is the thing that I'm never like, oh. You know, like, it's never even slightly appeals to me. The amount of like... Oh no! Like I feel when I see a cartoon, like with a Homer Simpson with a throbbing heart on.
I'm just like, it's such a cock.
It's like seeing your parents fuck. You're just like, no! Like immediately, you just don't want to see it.
If these images are to be believed, Homer Simpson is packing heat, and it explains a lot of his confidence.
Yeah, it's amazing. He's like walking. Like, of course, he can sleep on the job. He's like the biggest cock I know.
He works in a nuclear power plant. That wouldn't help.
That's right.
People are depending on him to not explode America.
Mm. Yeah, it's
since Chernobyl. Guys with big dongs falling asleep at the wheel. Why? Communism.
Who is the hottest cartoon? Oh, the dad from
American Dad.
Inside Out. You know the one with the cartoon
clip? Oh, he has got He's the dad from Inside Out.
I can't remember what he looks like.
He's got a mustache and he fucks like a racehorse.
What about the
stinks of sweat in a good way?
What about the parents from The Incredibles, the mum and the dad? No. I haven't seen that movie.
Too cartoonish.
She's very stretchy.
Yeah.
Sailor Moon, I think, is quite a sexy cartoon.
Yes.
I don't think of Sailor Moon as sexy. I haven't spent enough time with the show, but I feel like she takes up space in the world as a sexy animated character.
It's been intentionally gone in that direction, but it's gross because she is probably, if you look at canon, you know, too young.
But they like it because of the short skirts, right? The lads like it for the short skirts, which is something that definitely was alarming for me watching this whole film. Well, like what it raised in my mind was like the thing that is traditionally pitched sexy to me is like repulsive. You know, like there's nothing that turns me off more than like red roses and candles and like that kind of like that and sort of like a lipstick thrown on a glass plate.
Yeah, I know. It fucks me off when, you know, someone tries to seduce me and I walk into a room and I can barely move for lipstick on a glass plate. Because you started telling us right when the movie started and you were like, you know, you get the sort of visceral experience of thinking, I'm sitting down, I'm watching porn with friends here. And also, this is porn of an era that maybe was close to when you first watched porn.
Yes.
You started telling us about your maiden porn watching experience.
Yeah, well, because I had a best mate who
respect, brother.
Thanks, man. Thanks, dude. and he was 100% real and everything. but I won't name him, name and shame him, because maybe, I don't know, he could. I don't want to tarnish his professional career with this.
With mentioning him on Worst Idea of All Time.
Well, we watched a lot of porn together.
Oh, okay.
It was one of the main things we did together. That and just kind of hang out as friends. But he was a straight dude who, in hindsight, very like non-judgmental about clearly his struggling best friend who was like kind of not getting into it. But we used to go to his house on the Friday night, have a sleepover, get out of bed at like 11:50.
That's right.
Walk upstairs to the lounge, turn on the gigantic like TV that lit up the whole house, and watch these porn like and watch like the Emmanuel movies together. But then we discovered DVDs. Like, you know, he was old enough to, and he went on a very famous trip to the Gold Coast with I think his stepdad, and they went to a CD or DVD shop, and he bought. You know, he came back and he's like, "My God, my friend, have I got some treasures for you?" And he's like, "I bought some DVD porns," and I was like, "Holy smokes!" You know, like
that is on demand. You can put those on when you want.
Such an escalation of intensity. Yeah. It's like I'm imagining the step up in the sort of like hardcore level of pornography you've gone from just sneaking a glance at a nipple on Sky One after midnight to your mate coming back from the Gold Coast laden with pornographic DVDs. I'm so scared for you right now.
It was so confusing. It was still very much of a similar like rating of porn. Like it was still, it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't any of that kind of stuff. But it was like, oh God, it's all colliding, like all the things. We used to watch them because he moved house. So the sort of setting had changed, and now we were watching them in his garage.
Oh.
Where he slept. Very cool.
Yeah.
Cool to sleep. The garage is my man cave. He got up to all sorts of trouble in the garage. And I, you know, like I remember like lying on his camp stretcher watching them on this TV. But it was like
This is such a like an iconic teenage boy set.
Yeah, and
this
he had an iRobot. Do you remember like you could like kind of buy robot toys like
and like almost did what you asked.
Yeah, yeah. And that was kind of like in the corner. And then like lots of like just rollerblades randomly around. And then
this is all his stuff. This is just stuff that's incidentally in the garage.
And like it was. It was like he never fully converted it. So it'd be like bed thing, rollerblades and a rake, you know, just like
until you got to rake. I was going to describe this dude as the most zeitgeisty person.
he was on the pulse. And then this style of porn was like, it was following like what I think was like a fake rock group going on tour, and it was called Groupies, and it was all about like groupies being like it was really dodgy shit.
Yeah.
But like the main thrust of it was the rock stars throwing like shaved ham
shaved ham
at the woman's boobs and making like a jam sandwich and putting like jam on their toes.
I hate food play.
I know.
I don't want to kink shame, but all these softcore pornographies and their food play is so rad.
And I remember just being like, gross. And I remember being like 13 or 14, just being like, and well, even younger, probably like 12. And like, you know, you want to be like, nice to your mate. But even at that age,
can you do the noise you made before you said nice?
Yeah. You know, nice. You know, like, and it's hard because you just want to be like, I was just like, are they making a sandwich? Why are they making a sandwich? Why are they into it? Who's into this? Like, is this nice for the guys to be like, take that ham? Like, yeah, it's yeah. so...
Who's this for?
And then I think it's just permanently, like, burnt and, like, rotted a part of my brain, you know? Like, because it's just like, it's yeah, it's just like, I'll never forget it. But anyway, there was a promise of food play in this, and I immediately sort of felt myself be like, not again.
It was chocolate strawberries, right?
And it was like they barely dipped it in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was the worst, because I like a chocolate dipped strawberry if it's a hard coated, like,
oh, it dries when you remove
tempers,
it.
You know, yeah, yeah. You get a crack, whereas, and that could be a little sexy, maybe, like when the models bite on the Magnums.
Skarkomat. It's actually Moritz, which was a Magnum equivalent.
Moritz, please, your pronunciation.
Moritz. It was an old, it's like a glamour ice cream, you know, like a luxury ice cream on a stick.
Yeah, and you bite it and be like, you know, and it would shatter.
The ad was a man and a woman playing chess, and the woman was in a negligee, and she beats the man and says checkmate in some Eastern European language, and then bites an ice cream.
She's hot.
And then
crazy to be playing chess and eating ice cream at the same time.
In a negligee, like, obviously while preparing to fuck this guy.
Because for me, like, ice creams aren't very sexy. It's like, have a little sweetie treat.
Yeah.
Like, it's more kiddie kind of fun. Like, oh, I want a little ice cream.
Oh, no, you can make ice cream attractive.
Shove it up your asshole.
That's right. You've got it. You've got the guy.
The guy.
Have you met my brother, second horniest man?
I love to shove the Moritz up my asshole.
And I eat the stick out of his mouth, and then we both fuck this same kangaroo.
We love to fuck each other.
You know, kangaroos have three vaginas for three brothers.
I don't know about all this, to be honest. Don't know about it.
What did you think, Tim?
I wanted to get back into while the movie was playing and we were talking about the chocolate strawberries, the chocolate body paint thing. There was some interesting shit going on in the 90s. Mm. First of all, bisexuality was sweet as.
Yeah.
Everyone was kind of seemed quite fine with it. You brought up the good point because you want to assume once we cross these social thresholds, things become normalized and fine. But I think we did regress with bisexuality in the early 2000s for some
Absolutely.
Reason.
And, like, I think it was sort of like the era of, like, weirdly, like, Austin Powers. Things got, like, that was, like, the worst of it. Like, you know, but before then we were, like...
Blossom.
We were sort of like, oh, we're kind of accepting and we're sort of getting it. And then it was suddenly, like, the noughties happened and we were like, let's turn the clock back a little bit, you know, and then we got really like,
we're reinvading Iraq, we are homophobic,
like,
again,
really judgmental. And maybe it was like the rise of like the styles of comedy writing as well that really got punching down, like,
yeah.
And then it was like unpacking all that work again. But yeah, the 90s was like hot for body paint and food play, I reckon.
I used to love those candy g-strings. What I'd do is I'd go down to the sex store and buy a little candy G-string, and I'd put it on myself, and I'd go home and I would eat it until I was sucking my own cock.
I've got a visual of you trying to, the flexibility
I
involved.
Almost believed that story. I remember me and that sex obsessed, I mean, he was the guy that me and him we were encountering.
This is your friend.
Yeah. Yeah. We were encountering our sexualities, which the plot was supposed to say were different. We were pitching it as if they were the same. Yeah. And we were encountering that together. And I remember we're walking down Manchester Street, very famous street in Christchurch, which is filled with like sex shops. And
it was
like
red light district of Chichester.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, sort of not really red though. It was sort of more sort of an amber. And I remember being like, yeah, can't wait till we turn 18 and we can go into these shops.
That is the rule. That's the law, and it's there for a reason.
And never went into them, because then, like, by the time I was 18, you could buy it all online.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's the real tragedy of the 2000s.
Do you guys remember going
a move of commerce to switch from brick and mortar stores where upon your 18th birthday you could frequent a sex shop for the very first time and experience in all five senses the thrill of buying explicit material and toys.
Finally slip through the beaded curtain down at your local video store.
No
to
longer.
Go into a small 4x4 room on which every single shelf is plastered a heavily pornographic and punny title.
And now, robbed this generation.
You see, even as a young teenager, as a 15-year-old, you could step in there for a second and
yeah.
then step back out for fear of being caught and just parade around looking at rom-coms in the ordinary section with a boner poking out of your trousers.
This is, out of the waistband.
This is too specific.
No, this is general. This is a general observation.
You'd be walking around Video Easy Carlton Mill. Yeah, yeah.
What is up with the fact that they all had to have like pun names?
I don't know.
You got to sell to a pre-sold franchise. You know, people are, you know, people want to watch the war. Yeah. They want to watch the war flicks. They want to see Shaving Ryan. I never got
Shaving Ryan's Private.
So I never think you forgot about that. It was like, is the shaving the sexy part? Like,
I think it was.
They
like
were just
a, it was
looking
just a,
for
it. I thought it was a Friends joke. It was a joke from Friends.
Yeah, it was Phoebe's sister. Who
I don't
was
think
it was in porn.
I don't know
was
it
Buffy,
actually a porno.
Right. Buffy the Vampire Lair, and there were some other ones.
There was also Lawrence of My Labia, a joke revisited in Sex and the City 2.
What? A little cross-universe
pornation. Right. I like to think every movie I've watched exists in the same cinematic universe.
Easily. But
the Montgomery universe.
Everything exists in my universe.
That, I haven't laughed at it, but might be the funniest thing you've ever seen.
It's interesting because the thing that I was scared about, specifically when the characters were in Vegas, was I felt like we were going to cross over with Full House, because I swear there's an episode where they get lost in Vegas, and I was freaking out for a while. I was like, I cannot see the Olsen twins young in this movie. But I was waiting for them to kind of just walk past in the back of shot. This movie held one of my favorite lines ever, really, which is, so where are you from? I'm from Vegas. Like, no one's from Vegas.
Because if you are from Vegas, you don't leave.
But she's actually from outer space.
That's right. Mm. In many ways, isn't Las Vegas our own little slice of space here on Earth? Huh?
I've never been to Las Vegas.
I went once. Not for me. I took magic mushrooms. I broke even. Still didn't love it.
That's wild to not have still, that as an all-time great trip.
It was still, it was fun, but I was like, I don't need, it's gross.
That's the thing, and it's a similar thing to the sexy thing of like lipstick on a glass plate. It's like, want to have a bit of naughty fun, like the pokies. You know, like that doesn't make me want to have fun. That makes me really sad.
Mm.
Like, it's like the thing that when something is pitched obviously to you to have a good time, I freak out.
You must have hated the opening salvo of this film then, which was a sex scene intercut with different people gambling in the middle of like not even
they were
an
all
outcome.
Losing.
Yeah.
Oh, every one of them was losing. They would have a lot of pokey machines coming up with like it'll be like
three
seven,
different
seven.
I just feel like I feel like I spent the last 10 years like running away from that culture. You know, just like that thing of like, and then it's like those dudes go to like dress up nights, which is themed like pimps and hoes.
Yes.
You know? And it's like, I just have never been invited to one of those parties and I never want to be.
I'm going to have a pimps and hoes Christmas party. And you're very welcome to come, but beware, it's going to get slippery.
We should talk about the version of that in this film, which is the party. Do you want to describe how the Valentine's Day party happens that Mario orchestrates?
We don't even know. That part of the movie happened. We were like, where are we? Like, it just, we suddenly may have been in Italy, but we weren't sure. But they're going to the, so
that's on the boat, though, isn't it?
And, but where was the boat?
That
was
true. In Las Vegas. This is the famous Las Vegas coastline.
The thing about this film is it's just a series of, like, it's a premise, right? Like, it's these two hot ladies come to Earth and go around the world because they can transport very fast. So you can fuck in all sorts of fun places. One of these places is a kind of Valentine's Day party.
Masquerade ball.
Yes, where some guy he's a philosopher in a way. He's a millionaire. He's a philanthropist. But he's all about free love. But turns out it's a bit more conditional than that. he wants you to have sex with someone specific. And so
his
version
chosen.
Of free love is he chooses who everyone else has sex with.
It's like literally the opposite.
Yeah.
So he's handed out a whole bunch of what I will honestly say are very cheap masks. Like just $2, like a bunch of, and that style of mask with the feathers around, I feel so familiar with.
I would love to see the characters in the movie being like, is it just me? Are the masks really cheap this year? Like, I think Mario might have lost a lot of money, and Mario's still trying to throw his big party. And everyone's like, "This it feels off this year, guys."
Yeah. Oh, remember the year there was all like those Venetian masks? Yeah. And suddenly it's like paper flimsy masks.
Mine's got a macaroni border. It feels like a child made
it's got
this.
That cheap elastic cutting into my ears. And so he's given out masks, and you have to find someone with the same mask as you, and that is your Valentine. And he's like, it's like, you know, like it's not much more said on that, but he's being like, you must have sex with them.
And what he explicitly says is, you may not trade masks.
Yeah.
Yes.
I have dished out these masks.
And Emmanuel does a classic Shakespeare switcheroo.
Yeah.
She
pours a glass of red wine on someone, and while they're cleaning themselves up, swaps the mask.
Just like old Romeo.
And it led into what I would call my low point of the film, just the longest, like, dimliest lit, slowest, saddest fuck. But there was a pour of this, it had a bit of food play, because there was a promise of food play in this whole film, and it didn't really happen. And then suddenly it was like, he was pouring bubbles. I'm not going to say it's champagne, because if the quality of the master was anything to go by, he's cutting costs.
You can't, you know, you can't call them masks unless they're from the mask region.
Yes, exactly.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So it's traditional.
So the
face cover traditional.
Yeah, yeah.
The sparkling white is on.
He pours a bit of sparkling grape juice into like the crevice of her back, which is just crazy.
Meanwhile, the cameraman or the camera person is literally running around them in circles, pointing their camera on the action.
They keep doing it. It makes me so ill. Because not only do they have these constantly rotating shots of the sex scenes, they will intercut it with a constantly rotating shot of the spaceship and then a child's carousel ride going at full tilt with the fucking sound.
I was waiting for you to cut to like Sugar Babe singing Round Round and also like swinging around. It's like everything was rotating and all in different ways. You just feel so dizzy.
The problem with this film, what made it so excruciatingly boring and really sort of hard to key into is just like, it felt like there was exactly the same amount of time given to the exposition or the dialogue and then also the sex scenes, but there was no oomph to either of them. Like, the dialogue was all very pedestrian and they had no story to further. And then the sex scenes were also, there was one sex scene that was quite good when the Trisha after she's just been fucking pesting all around the world, she goes to Spain and she pests her in a changing room. She pests a matador.
I loved
it. And that was really, like, you guys were very, I was sort of coming in and out of the world at that point, but you guys were very, like,
it was hot.
It was beautifully set up and constructed. And
so,
like,
well lit.
The sexual dynamic was really clear and strong.
It's,
and they changed roles as well, which is kind of sexy.
My biggest critique of that is that they should have used a daylight temperature on that light instead of a cold.
It was very cold. It was very coldly lit, and it was not doing wonders for his butt.
You both criticised they put a towel down as well.
Well, he didn't put a towel down. He lay his matador cape down, which I think was supposed to be a very romantic, sexy gesture, but and just kind of screamed of being like, ooh, and something to mop up afterwards, which was just not nice.
When you articulated that, it was so good because it was like, I feel that this is yuck and I don't know why. And
it was like a little bib for your bottom.
What they're going for is like shag pile rug, fuck by a fire. But what it read in the moment as was, as you said, discharge is going to happen.
And God, he would be exhausted.
That's right.
He's just been running around with a bull.
Yeah.
And suddenly he walks back. He's like, I need to take my shirt off because I'm so hot. Like, it's the middle of summer in Spain. And he's like, right to my cold office his office. It was kind of an office, even though it was kind of backstage of the Matador Arena. And he had like a big desk where I imagine he does his taxes and his paperwork.
And he's got a sculpture of a bull he looks at
on the desk. And it was just like amazing. And so he's just like clocking off, like, I'm done for the day. The crowds loved the bull stuff.
Again.
And like, he did a tight 10 or whatever. And he's just like feeling really confident. And then this woman there is just like, nice. They chat. It's just like, what are you doing here? Mm-hmm. And then away they go.
This is what shits me, and this is where I feel similarly to you about, like, like this is the example you gave, so I'll return it, about the lipstick on a glass plate thing. Like, this traditional romance, or this idea of, like, carefully orchestrated arousing situations. And this character was driving me nuts, is like the assumption that everyone wants to have sex with her, and it's like arriving at these inopportune moments and just insisting upon it being an arousing, or like, and it's, everything's dripping and like intent.
Yeah.
And it's just, it feels so like heavy and you can't move. And it's like, I just want to be able to fucking relax and have fun. But everything you say is like construed through a sexual filter.
It's why the trope of a pizza boy turning up is so often used to describe porn, because it's the spontaneous nature of, you thought one thing was happening, which is that you're getting it, or actually, take it from the pizza delivery person's perspective. You think you're delivering a pizza, just like always, just for the 50th time tonight, knock on the door, open it.
50 pizzas is a busy night.
It's a lot of one night, isn't it? Yeah. Isn't that a lot?
Yeah, that's
50 pizzas.
This guy's knackered.
He's knocking on
50
doors.
The last thing he wants is to lie down in someone else's bed.
He's like, I've got 35 more pizzas in my car, and
they
I'm going
getting,
to get fired.
Yeah, they're getting colder by the second.
And the next one is on the literally other end of town.
They're individual orders as well.
Yeah,
no one's ordered two pizzas.
No, he's got 50 houses to go to.
We've got to talk about the fucking hot, hot, muscly man.
Oh, yeah.
Was he there? It was the first one that Trish...
It was an array of buff bodies. Like, it was... And this is the thing that was really, like, interesting. And at a point where I was like, it's like this film is made for one gay man, two straight men. Like, this is, like, the perfect combo to watch this film. Because... And it kind of goes down to the initial premise, which is why I'm interested about the idea of, like, other films being Emmanuel and a man going down. Because then he might be having sex with more women, and you might see some more different types. But this is like you're only seeing the same two women have sex with all these other guys. So it's very, like,
it's true,
female-led. And, like, the woman is having, like, she's getting all these different types of male bodies. Mm. And so, like, and they really seemed in control of them a bit more. Which,
they're not different types of... They're different men. But
they're not different.
The same, it's the same body type.
It is the same body type. But
they were on a slider, though.
Of how ripped they were.
Their first guy was... incredible.
Yeah, he's like, I've never seen so many muscles on
because
him.
They were all in proportion with each other. Like, they were all quite big, but not... I don't like that kind of grotesque body build,
yeah,
the bulgy thing.
He walked that fine line between, like, he had such clearly and perfectly defined muscles, but all within, I mean, this is probably an offensive thing to say, but within taste. Like, none of them were sort of exploding with veins.
No, yeah. There was no... The Matador was probably the beefiest boy, but fuck, I mean, that suits his job, you know, whereas there was like the bellboy at the hotel in Vegas.
I reckon if I was a matador, I'd almost want my exact body. I think too much muscle, you're too top heavy. You know, you're not as
you want to zip around the ball,
or agile. You want to be able to like bend around. I imagine the ball coming at me, and I like bend my whole body around it.
You're kind of like looping like Elastic Girl.
Yeah,
jumping over the I guess he sort of like wants to grab the ball by the horns and sort of fling it away.
I think if he like was off balance ever so slightly, he's so top heavy that he would fall down, and then the ball just has to round the corner, come back and impale him with one of his horns.
Bulls not famously good corner turners though.
No,
they're really
right.
good in a straight line. They'll go like stink.
Yeah, yeah.
But you give them to turn a corner in a hurry, ooh, they're on their side.
We're talking bulls with Tim Batt here.
Welcome back to Talking Bulls.
I guess matadors are sexy.
Like, yeah.
I was surprised. I was like, when we got to the Matador Arena, I was like, yeah.
I think the
of all the jobs.
Yeah, yeah. The ethics are questionable now, but the idea of a traditional matador, like you imagine at the height of, you know, that being, I mean, it's still a huge part of the culture in Spain, but like the idea of that is very sexy because you're watching someone in mortal peril.
Yeah.
They survive, and it's like, you know,
the less sexy through their of them
skill.
All.
Through yeah. nothing but their skill.
When they're in Paris and she fucks a guy who can barely paint a picture.
Oh, yeah. It's a horror.
And he had a grotty apartment. She's like, I love your apartment. And it was so kind of beige and.
Yeah, and he was painting a very dark. He was sitting by himself with a canvas and an easel next to a merry-go-round in a public park, painting a photo of someone else's child flying a kite. And this alien shows up and says, fuck me. And he says, okay.
But he did have, like, he had some champagne just, like, on ice back at his apartment, which was, I mean, I kind of get the contract slightly because it is, like, very reminiscent of, like, Grindr hookups where you just, like, are, like, we are engaging in sexual intercourse. Like, that is, but there's, like, even engaging into the app, like, you're, like, that's up top, like, the contract here.
Whereas, well, is this like straight people cruising? Because this is in a park?
I guess so, but you're just, like, the situation is, like, he's just like so horny already.
He
but to
asks
even just have sex on the
well,
mind.
As forward as she is through this entire movie, he says, I hope this isn't too forward, but my apartment is nearby.
This is actually all circling back to a point that you kind of raised, which I think, like, so there's the thing about the forced eroticism or the forced, like, mood that irks you, and also me, and then also it's like the idea, like, watching these pornos and then watch it as I grew older and watched more a wider variety of porn apart from just softcore Emmanuel porns, but like remembering the idea that everyone is horny all the time and that the first thing you do when you're really horny if you wind up with a woman is like spend 45 minutes fondling her breasts. It's the same point that you made, which is like it's really unbecoming. It's also quite confusing because then when you actually do start having sexual experiences, it's not, like it doesn't come up in any way or shape or form the way that it's presented.
I know, and that's because I've had sex with the ladies and the men, you know, and when I was having sex with the ladies, it was like that was definitely in my mind. It was like it needs to be this, like, I need to light a candle and I need to like throw a million beads around the banister of my bed and like all
not unlike the Emmanuel films. At one point they'd strewn beads all around this four-poster bed and the man was running around with the camera to film it and they were spinning the beads and the beads were all rocking back and forth.
I don't think the camera person moved from that one because the bed was literally because I was like, no, they're just moving the camera perspective. Like, no, look at the beads, and by centripetal force you could see being shifted around.
And but then when I got to started having sex with men, like it was like I had like liberated that idea of it having to be so like, you know, and it became like fun and exhilarating and like and sort of fast or like, you know, and you know, with shame and guilt and all, you know.
And shout out to all our Catholic listeners.
And it's thrilling, you know, and like it could be way more fun, which is like, you know. I think what
you're also having sex with people you want. Like you're like driven to have sex with at this point, which is a huge difference.
And you like the person you're with. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, no, it's like I don't know. I feel like there could be thrill in these. If I was to give any notes, you know, it's just like pace it up. You know, have a quick fuck. You know, because there's that great moment because she's been to Paris and Spain or whatever, and I was like, where next? Where is obviously another iconic landmark.
Yeah.
Hollywood. And so she has sex with a Hollywood director who's making just a sort of film about two people who want to kill each other on the side of the road. And
in front of like a demented Pee Wee Herman set.
it was weird.
There was some weird backdrops.
There was some weird backdrops. And then they are kind of going to have this like quickie, like on, like
we're, it is the, is it, you're exhausted of the idea of sex in the movie by then, but it is on site the most titillating scene because,
well, except that it's in broad, it's one piece.
And that's what's fun about it.
It's a different, it is a change of environment. Like every other scene's been shot like in silhouette, really exactly the same pace, exactly the same setup. You're like, we get it. You like long, languid sexual experiences.
But this might be like the sort of, because I think a lot of like gay porn and stuff is like, you know, quickies and like, or like just doing it in public or whatever.
Quickies, the digestive proper quickies.
Quickies. They put a quick food plate. It's like digestion pills. but then like, yeah, I was excited to be like, oh, they're gonna have sex really fast on this couch or something. Or maybe I just wanted the movie to be over.
Yeah.
But then again, it was just like really slow and just like all about the nipples and a lot of belly button play.
Yes. A lot of licking
of the belly button.
Tonguing. Which,
and,
belly
the, and the guys, the apparently in the film, the guys love it. Like they just love having their belly button eaten out.
That's right. There's nothing quite like having your lint removed by the tongue of another.
And then she exchanges it into his mouth.
We've got some segments that we need to race through. And the first one is actually hosted by me as the Barma Inspector.
My God. How did this
Okay,
guy...
I'll inspect myself. It's yes, a... still got a big boner. I've had a boner since I was 16. I can't get rid of it, is why I'm so confused.
It's a difficult position to get. There's a lot of hoops to jump through. There's a lot of internal politics. I don't know how this man ascended to the boner inspector.
You'd want it to be a more supportive, like, sort of...
I'm safe!
And so is his brother, who he likes to fuck. No boner for me, and I was hoping for one just to be like... Oh, he's still got a bit in the old horse, you know. Like,
yeah, yeah.
So I was willing, wanting, hoping.
This
but
was the furthest I've been from here. This was felt so unerotic.
You were full linguine.
Yeah, I was. As they say in the film, she asks one of the bellboys to make her his famous linguine, which we immediately assumed as when he fucks her with a flaccid cock.
A full linguine.
It's a really funny name.
Tim, any murmurings from your penis?
Nah, man. I was a combination of bored and cracking up. Those were the two.
We did have fun, didn't we? We did have some laughs.
And it's so nice to have not just a guest, but Chris Parker.
That's right. It is a delight. And the other section is it's called Picture Porno with George Lazenby.
Oh, who's he?
I'm sorry, it's so hot in here, right?
So hot.
It is
very hot in here. I don't have much time before I pass out from dehydration.
Is George the guy from the planes in the first films?
Yes.
You got it. Great. Also, one-time James Bond star and will not let it go.
And the world's greatest listener.
The world's greatest listener, that's right. We got to pitch him a porno.
Me.
George Lazenby.
Yes.
Nice. It's obviously called Lipstick on a Glass Plate.
Oh,
you into it? And it's a series of it's a series of really quick fucks, actually. because everyone is so scared about being caught that they've got to get it done
I'm
fast.
Listening.
And
are they all in one room?
It's all in one room.
Okay.
You want that?
I'm just asking.
The way that you pitched it, I mean, it could be anywhere, but if you wanted them all in one room.
Well, so far you've just described the idea of a lot of people having sex in a rush.
it's in the morning rush. It's before work. And everyone's like, they haven't had sex with their partners for like 6 months. And they're like, this morning.
Why do all of these people live together?
It's an apartment building, and there's a whole bunch of like young yo pros, and they're in their committed relationships, and they're all going to have sex, but they're just like, let's just do it this morning, otherwise we're never going to get to do it. So they just quickly have sex. And before they leave, the wife is like, I've got to go to work, and she puts her lipstick on and throws it on the glass plate, and that's the last final frame. So we zoom out.
I like it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tim?
Awesome. Green lighting it. It's like Quibi. How can it go wrong? You know, people want bite-sized scenes.
It's exactly like Quibi. Why didn't they make porn on Quibi?
They absolutely... That should have been the pivot.
That's the platform.
They had invested...
Yeah.
Bit, I think, millions at least.
Because it's also to watch on the phone in these small little videos, like the length of a porn.
Exactly. Porn!
You're like, it's a 7 minute... What is a 7 minute...
What is that? Yeah.
What genre phone movie do I want
what
in 7 minutes particular... on my phone?
7 minutes, those... no more.
Fucking dumb assholes were so close.
Katzenberg, if you're listening.
You were so fucking close, and you spent so much money building the infrastructure.
I reckon we should absolutely put porn on Netflix. Like, I just think it's the absolute way to go. Because also you could have the logins, because there's like different logins, right? So you could just have the, you need to be 18 to get into this part of Netflix.
And then, kids never can figure that stuff out.
But it's fine, you know, because then it's also being paid and it's being curated by Netflix up top.
Exactly.
So at least they're not, at least the parents are like, well, I mean, I can see from the history they've been watching a lot of porn, but at least that's good stuff.
They're not going to whatever, to like grubby porn sites and seeing real aggressive, horrible stuff that's planting bad seeds in their head.
But then you get to pay for your porn is the important part.
Also so
you
very
get,
true.
And you're not like, you know, your dad's like going through your taxes and like, what's cocky boys? You know, it's, you know, you don't get that. It's just like, oh,
subscription.
That's Chris's Netflix account.
Why the fuck aren't they doing
that? Can we
this?
Circle Chris, back to that anecdote where your dad is going through your taxes and notices that you've...
Listen, my dad does my taxes.
And is a huge fan of our show.
And I've subscribed to like a couple of OnlyFans accounts in my time. But I have to go through my taxes before I give them to my dad. Thus negating the point that my dad helps me with my taxes anyway to scrub out the OnlyFans titles inside of those. Because I'm trying to pay for more porn.
But good, it's, on you. Good on you.
But, you know, you do what you can.
What do you... What? How would the conversation go, do you think, if you... Are you just
so
fearful?
It would go, what's OnlyFans? It's an online website subscription.
You like athletes, don't you, Dad?
These guys aren't athletes.
You couldn't have that conversation with your dad?
Would you have that conversation with your dad?
If he was doing my taxes and stuff and I was like, oh, God, all right, fine.
Really?
Yeah, actually, do you know what? I would.
What about you?
I would.
Captain Underpants.
It's.
I would, but I'd. You know, it would just be like, don't worry about it. It's just you pay to see naked photos of people.
I brought this mentality to my drug use as well. My folks are.
You're better to say it's porn than you pay to see naked photos. That is way sadder.
That is so sad. Photos.
Oh,
or is this how you have to explain it to Stephen so he understands what's going on?
Dad doesn't understand moving pictures.
That's where I pay.
We don't have a TV, just a painting above the fireplace that he looks at every night.
Oh, it's where we pay to see pictures of Homer Simpson naked.
Yeah, and his monster hog.
With a giant donut wedged over it.
It is unsustainable. That is a Homer Simpson porn I'd like to watch, just him fucking a giant donut.
Is that what you've seen, or is that just something you've created from
I mean, I imagine it exists because
it's iconic.
It's the perfect snack to fuck.
That's right.
It's built for it.
If you want to fuck, you know that.
Homer Simpson would.
If you want to be fucked, then I would suggest an eclair.
Even that. That's like ordering the full linguine.
No, donuts go because it's crumbly. It wouldn't get too much.
I'm imagining you're trying to fuck
away.
Yourself with an eclair. It's just whipped cream all around you.
An eclair is very difficult.
Battle!
Okay, we've got to leave this room. It's so hot and I can't handle Guy Montgomery anymore. Chris Parker, thank you so much for joining us.
Anything,
inaugural guest.
Anything you'd like people to inspect?
Plug stuff.
No, just enjoy your year. Don't worry about it.
Listen to I will then. As the producer of The Male Gaze, it is a fantastic podcast.
It was a test. You failed.
And I forgot about my own podcast.
It's Chris Parker and Eli Mathewson, and it's just fucking great. So subscribe to it, you dingus. And maybe, I think this will be around like the time when this comes out, if all goes well. Chris and I and Eli might maybe have a pretty big and crazy announcement to make by the year's end. So
yeah,
I hope you do. Is it that
we're having a baby
to come and hang out with you guys now?
Well, how do you mean?
Is that the big announcement?
No, you're still on the blacklist.
Do you want to do an episode with us
of The Male Gaze?
Yeah. With our straight friend.
Sure. I don't think I'm the perfect fit, but I'll give it a go.
We've had straighter people on the podcast. We've had Brindley Stint.
Bye, everybody. See you in the next exciting installment of Emmanuel in
Space!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.